Please be seated. It is good to be here with you. Right after the service, I am going to leave and fly off to Seattle, so I won't be able to say Merry Christmas and good wishes to you, so I'll say it now. The Reverend, my retired now, Reverend Greta Cosby, wrote a poem, Winter. She invites us, let us not wish away the winter. She insists it is a season in itself, not simply a way to spring. When the trees rest, growing no leaves, gathering no light, they let in sky and trace themselves delicately against dawns and sunsets. The clarity and brilliance of the winter sky delight. Winter is a table set with ice and starlight. And then she reminds us of the compliments of the season. Winter dark tends to fire and candles. Winter cold to hugs and huddles. Winter want to gifts and sharing. And she concludes, let us therefore praise winter. Rich in beauty and challenge and pregnant negativities. The point of this night, the darkest time of the year, is to find light in the darkness. Perhaps that light is the light of the Christ child. Or maybe it's the light born in every human child. Perhaps it is the growing of sunlight, the promise of brighter days to come. Or maybe it's the growing light within our own spirits, awakening the mind and heart. The light in the darkness. But before you turn to the light, I want you to relax into the dark, to understand the dark. And embrace it. The very reason for this season is because the earth tilts from the ecliptic. That circle, that plane around which we orbit the sun. And we who are in the northern part of the earth, even in Southern California, we tilt around the summer solstice, we tilt towards the sun, and so we get a lot more sun. It feels like it's right on top of our heads. But once we circle around over here, we're tilted away, 23 degrees away from the sun, and the nights become longer and darker and colder. The spinning of the earth gives us this daily rhythm of light and dark. And the tilt of the earth gives us this annual rhythm of light and dark, reminding us of our wholeness so that light and dark are woven together. I mean, if there were no dark at all, if there was only sunlight, we'd all be burned. So today I say, be glad for the darkness. Be joyful in the darkness, the sounds of angels singing. Or at least, let the dark be the reminder of the balance of peace and rest, how absolutely necessary dreams and sleep are to our health and well-being. Of course, the darkness frightens us, and our culture emphasizes this. We don't know what's in the dark corner. We don't know the dangers of a dark room or a dark forest. We know there are dangers, and we want to see where we're going, and we know that you can fall into trouble if you can't see where you're going. It's all about lack of knowledge, especially. Lack of knowledge breeds fear. And we project into darkness whatever we fear. And we project our fears onto those things that we don't understand. Perhaps one of the most glaring examples of this was how European rulers and traders and explorers during the 1700s and 1800s referred to Africa as the dark continent. We knew what was in Africa. Europeans knew. They had maps. They just weren't scientifically accurate maps. But more importantly, they wanted to justify their greed, and they wanted to justify the enslavement of people with darker colored skin. So they called it the Dark Continent. Anyone who goes there, of course, knows instantly. It's a place full of deserts and forests and mountains and bright sun and fertility and powerful colors and loving families. Open your mind to the places that have been obscured. Open your mind to the darkness and find truth there. You need to understand the dark. And Wendell Berry, that great farmer poet of Kentucky who I got to meet once and talk with for a day, he reflected on this. He said, "To go into the dark with the light is to know the light. But to know the dark. Go without sight and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings." I thought of this line for nearly a month when my little bedroom window was open in Encinitas and there was a pair of owls, a mated pair of owls. They would sing to each other each night just as I was going to sleep. Hoo, 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 hoo. They would call to each other in the different voices, their little song of love, their song of preparing to go do their work in the night, seeking food. And I felt at ease hearing those dark wings and those dark voices. Always, if you wait patiently, your eyes and senses will adjust. You will often find that places you thought were dark really are not so. And when you open yourself to the dark, you find that it is not so frightening and obscuring, perhaps, as the poet Rainer Rilke said in his poem, "You Darkness." There, the darkness reminds us of what is ultimate, what pulls us all together, what is absolute, the source beyond knowing and limits, and the source of hope. He said, "You, darkness that I come from, I love you more than all the fires that fence in the world, for fire makes a circle of light for everyone, but then no one learns of you. But the darkness pulls in everything, shapes and fires, animals and myself. How easily darkness gathers them, powers and people, and it is possible a great presence is moving near me. I have faith in night." And many mystics like Rilke have spoken of the cloud of unknowing, or the dark night of the soul, where the seeker finds what it is they have been seeking, the beloved, or joy beyond understanding, wisdom, or peace. To know the dark, you must go dark. You must find there the dark wonder and joy. The dark night of longing and fulfillment can come to almost anyone if you're paying attention, if you're listening to what others have stopped listening to. I heard a story of a congregation. On Christmas Eve, they had a creche. People would play Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the innkeeper, the little posada thing. Innkeepers pushing them away until they found a shelter. And they had a little plastic baby doll in that they put, that Mary just pulled out from behind her dress and put it in the manger. And this one year, one of the little angels, the little girl who was playing an angel, she had a baby brother at home, and so she knew something. And she went over to that baby as they were all singing away in a manger. She went over and she picked that little baby up and said, "It's all right," and started patting him. While everyone else was assuming the baby was all right, she heard what they could not hear, the baby's crying, the baby's need. And she knew something that others forget. Little infants, so vulnerable, so powerless, so weak, so much of them still in darkness. They have power. They have a power to express need and love and to pull love out of us, to change situations and individuals, to cause people who never thought they would do so to walk in the night, singing lullabies, humming and rocking their bodies, and hoping for peace, deep peace. So I encourage you, before you go seeking the light, lean into the winter dark and listen. Dark is a servant and a friend to the light, and light its partner. The writer Ursula Le Guin noticed this partnership and invoked it so clearly in one of her most famous books that talked about the blurring of the edges between male and female. Even she said, light is the left hand of darkness, and darkness is the right hand of light. The two are one, life and death, lying together like lovers in passion, like hands joined together, like the end and the way to the end. Or you can look to a less esoteric source, that jazz singer Louis Armstrong, who said, I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. So seek joy in this sacred dark, and then the circle of the earth will be complete and will begin again in peace.